Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. For the first time ever, three people on the pod. You don't have to do it. I've got two people with me. First up here, we have Michael Hyland, who has been best friend since the sixth grade, best man at my wedding.
Can you say that one more time?
Oh, yeah. You were assistant to the best man at my wedding.
No. That's not what you just said. Please, David.
You were a groomsman.
Yes.
And the best man.
Okay,
so Michael, we're actually recording this in Michael's garage in Phoenix, Arizona, so on location for the first time as well. And then we also have the great Kevin Ryan Balzer.
Hello.
KRB.
Yeah.
Making his debut. So the significance of Kevin being on the podcast, I must say, is A, I just met you in person for the first time about 30 minutes ago.
This is true.
And maybe explain the background. How do you know the connection that was made? I want your end of the story.
Okay. So me and a friend of mine started a podcast ourselves called Magnificent Seven Pod and noticed that we were on New and Noteworthy page on iTunes. So I'm like, okay, just checking out New and Noteworthy page. And then I see the Brave Little Toaster sitting there next to it. I was like, that's the most amazing name for a podcast I've ever seen, the Brave Little Podcast. So I listened, loved it, and started commenting on your Twitter.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
So what...
And I live in Phoenix.
And you live in Phoenix?
So convenient.
I mentioned in the last podcast that I was driving down to Phoenix and we were going to record a podcast on Spectre. And so you tweeted saying like, oh, you're coming down to Phoenix. And I had no idea you actually lived here. So I extended the invite for you to come join. And here you are in person.
And it works out.
What was the first episode you listened to? I'm curious if you... Because we had just started posting. So there may have only been a couple.
I think the first one I listened to... was the Pixar one.
Oh, the Pixar bot. Okay. Yeah. Which oddly enough, well, maybe not oddly, but that is by far our most listened to episode.
Really?
In terms of stats. Yeah. Like, not, it's actually not even
close. I think when I listened to it, though, you had posted like five others already.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. People, pretty early on, though.
People still talk about the Pixar pod to me. Like,
really?
Yes. Like, people at work.
Like, negatively?
Yeah. People didn't take too well to my opinion that Finding Nemo wasn't the best movie ever. Like, that was an unpopular opinion I have found out. Also, the fact that I don't love The Incredibles as much as... I mean, I liked it, but I don't love it as much as people do. Also, many have taken personal offense to that. And so...
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow, people have strong feelings about Pixar movies.
Why haven't they made a second one?
They are right now. The Incredibles 2, in development. Yeah.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
What about Finding Nemo? Finding Dora?
Finding Dory, yeah, which is almost done in product. It's been. Have you done any research before you joined? Before you jumped on?
What are we doing on this podcast again?
Should we do a film 101 session here? Come on. So but you might not know this, but when you tweeted at us,
okay,
we had no idea we were on the New and Noteworthy section.
Okay, I didn't know that.
No, we had no idea.
So I let
our,
you know.
Our listens were spiking. And I had no idea why, because this was not some endeavor. I mean, the podcast is obviously, it's a hobby. And I mean, that most people aren't making podcasts because they're thinking they're going to make money, you know?
Yeah.
I guess unless you're Mark Maron or Adam Carolla or someone. But anyway, like, this is just for fun. And, you know, maybe some of our family and friends would listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, Skylar and I would have these conversations weekly and I decided to just start recording them and make it a little bit more official, right?
Yeah.
And so you tweet us. And actually, I went and found a screenshot of the tweet. This is what it says. All right. Quote, first time listener as of today. Loved every minute of it. Great job, guys. Can't wait for more. Which in the Twitterverse is like positivity of that, something that positive is really rare where people
right.
are so negative and
right.
And
there's
troll.
A reason people don't look at their mentions.
It, totally. Yeah. So I was like, whoa, that was a really nice compliment, but I have no idea
who
this is.
Who
so
are.
I figured you were Skylar's friend.
Okay.
And so I text Skylar. I was like, hey. Your friend Kevin said some really nice things about our podcast, and he's like, I have no idea who that is. And he's like, that's not my friend. I have no idea. I was like, well, how'd that guy find our podcast? Because we've only ever really shared it with just our friends and family.
I've spent the last 10 years looking at iTunes for podcast that talked about the Brave Little Toaster.
Just this, you've been on
and
a search.
I finally found one.
If there were just one podcast about the Brave Little Toaster, meanwhile, we've done zero episodes on the Brave Little Toaster. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Finally, you see the icon. Today's the day.
Yeah.
That's great. But, well, so there were other mentions coming through that day as well, because it must have been the first day or something. But, like, we were getting more listens. We were getting emails to our Gmail account. We got some tweets, and we were both thoroughly confused what was going on. And we're like, that's so weird. And then Skylar calls me, and he's like, hey, we're on the new noteworthy section of the iTunes listings, like on the iTunes page. And, yeah, so that was a nice bump for us initially, because we were brand new. And yeah. So, awesome. And now you're here in person.
So, moral of the story,
yeah.
If you are a creepy first fan, you'll eventually get on
podcast. Yeah, exactly.
So, to anyone listening... Use that tactic.
Yeah.
And Michael will gladly let you enter his house.
Yeah.
I have no idea who you are, but someone made caramel earlier. Why don't you try some?
It's like, hey, Mike, I'm going to have a friend come over to record the podcast with us. I actually have never met him before in real life. Never had a phone conversation with him. I'm 90% sure he's a real person. But there's a 10% chance that I'm inviting a serial killer to your home and showing him exactly where you live.
Yeah.
But so far, I'm getting the non-serial killer vibe. So, well, what's great is you're obviously a fan of film, but you're also a fan of sports, which is something that is often talked about in the podcast. Skylar and I are big sports fans, so there's a lot of that involved. You're a millennial. That's kind of like the target market of what we're going after. You just graduated from Arizona State, right?
I did.
So
yes.
Congratulations. You are a fan of Grantland.
I was a fan of Grantland. Is that how it goes? Or I still am?
No, oh, yeah.
I guess it's all past tense.
It is past tense, yeah. Which sucks. Grantland is something, I mean, Skylar and I talk about a lot. We text each other a lot about it. We knew it was going down once Bill Simmons got fired.
Yeah, it was inevitable. Eventually.
What are you going to miss most about Grantland?
Zach Lowe, his writing. I think I'm just like...
You're a data junkie.
I am. So I did my undergraduate thesis on a predictive win model for the NFL. So like that's how deep these roots run.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Like,
and you're a big Cardinals fan?
I am a Cardinals fan. Yeah. It's a good time to be a Cardinals fan.
Sure is.
But yeah, so I feel like five games in, I'm already dumber about the NBA because I don't have Zach Lowe.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what he's going to go do.
But
do we know yet? Has he been? Is there any announcement on what he's doing?
I know that they said that they're honoring.
I wonder if they're just going to bring him in.
ESPN.com.
Yeah. I figured of all the talent, him and like Bill Barnwell are the types of people and several others that they would bring on for the main ESPN.
I also really enjoyed Wesley Morris.
Oh,
he was great.
Like, are you talking about his writing or the Do You Like Prince Movies podcast?
Yeah. Do You Like Prince Movies? That was
awesome. I listen to every one of them. And Hollywood Prospectus.
I saw your tweet the other day that
about
talking like how they did another one on Bill Simmons' podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Pumped. Have you listened to that?
I did.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I said it on the way down yesterday on the road.
So, Chris Ryan somehow is like a perfect guy to talk about like 20 different topics.
I don't understand that because he's like he can talk about any topic, right? But he's like an expert and super articulate. He comes across very intelligent, but like he talks about all these things because he'll go into sports and I'm like, oh, whoa. Like, what do you do? How do you have the time?
Like he knows like, about, and mostly it's every TV show.
Yeah.
Basketball and English Premier League soccer. The dude knows like everything about all three.
That's crazy.
Like there's not enough time in the day.
Because Andy Greenwald, right? I mean, he talks about sports, mostly Philadelphia sports from time to time. But that's just TV, man. That's his corner. And I really like his takes too. But Chris Ryan does it all.
That's crazy.
So it doesn't surprise me Bill grabbed him for HBO.
Yeah. But definitely Grantland was a huge part of my everyday reading and listening to life. And now it's gone.
I check it every single day. It was the pop culture. Yeah. It's got, I guess, similar the way I don't know if this is probably more subconscious, but the way I approach the podcast, it's a podcast about movies, but we're going to be talking about sports as well, right?
Like
it's a kind of a mixture. I figure a lot of people that listen to the podcast fall into the category of people also are like big sports fans, and that's the market.
Sweet.
So speaking of sports and movies, that's what this pod is going to be about: is top five basketball films, which I had suggested to you because recently we had done. The top five baseball films, and you had mentioned also in a text about talking King's Sons. Yeah. So I thought, you know, let's do top five basketball films. And as it turns out, researching, you know, the history of basketball and cinema, there is a complete dearth of good basketball films. Like, there's essentially what I would consider, like, the royalty.
Yeah.
And it's probably maybe eight films to choose from. Like, after your five.
There's a huge drop-off.
Like, a huge drop-off. Yeah. No, it's an enormous drop-off. Because I started making a list of what I would put in my top five. And then there's this list of just, like, mediocre, like, just average, forgettable. And I want to talk a little bit about that. There's one movie in particular I want to talk a lot about in that regard. And then there's a ton of bad ones. But I knew there was not just from the research about the dearth, but like I started texting people because a lot of times I want to know like what their top five is. So we tweet out to people like, hey, give us your top five so we can read it on the pod or whatever. Or we can discuss it. I did that as well as tweeted. And almost everybody replied with a joke list first. Like, really? Yeah, like here are my top five as a joke. And then it's like, okay, here are my real top five. But like there's enough bad basketball movies that people think first about how like about the awful ones. Like there.
Yeah.
Why is it?
Okay, so I was wondering if we were going to talk about this.
Yeah.
I have like a take that's kind of just a depressing take. And I think it's just like the culture of basketball is normally like impoverished, like inner city kids. And it's hard to make like a story beyond their lives. Like what?
Yeah.
You can tell the story of
only so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like how realistic does it get if you like go beyond it? Like if you try to change the story.
Yeah. No, that's, I hadn't considered that. I guess the, where you consider like the homogeneity, like of the, of all, I mean, that story applies to such a high percentage of the NBA.
Yeah.
Or in a basketball stories generally that could be it. It makes, I don't know if there's something about the sport that's not translatable as well to film, like football. Or...
So I think a big thing in a lot of sports movies that they try and sell that makes them successful is this idea of like coming together as a team and stuff.
Yeah.
Basketball is definitely like, at being a team sport, it's still like really heavy on individuals. And there's not like that whole like, let's pull together as a team and make this thing happen. Like maybe you have in football or something.
Yeah.
So, but also like, it's so like highly individually driven. I feel like they could make, like there should be some like interesting individual to make a basketball movie about, but.
Yeah, you'd think. So as I dug in and realized that there are not a lot of great ones, there are, however, a ton of good basketball documentaries.
Yes.
Obviously, 30 for 30 brought us a ton. But even outside of 30 for 30, like it lends itself to the documentary format way better.
Yeah.
And because of that, we have a ton of good basketball documentaries. So I do want to talk about that as well. Because frankly, that's just more interesting to talk about. Like we can spend a whole podcast talking about these, but like I have a feeling, and I don't know either of your lists, I have a feeling that there are going to be three or four of the same potentially on all of ours. Maybe not. We'll find out. But that could be boring. So I kind of almost want to go through that part quickly, and then jump into some of the docs because some of them are really I think are special. Before I do that.
Okay.
In reference to the joke list that everyone sent me. Everybody sent this to me. And it was some mixture of the following films. One, Air Bud. Like, everyone puts Air Bud as number one. I was like, okay, all right, great. So we're taking this list seriously. Like, hey, give me your top five basketball movies. Air Bud, Like Mike, Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg, Thunderstruck with Kevin Durant, the most ill-advised, like, and then Basketball. Yeah, so some combination in different orders. Like everyone, it was so weird. Like it's a joke. So
right. Yeah, I texted my friend, asked him the same thing, and he gave me like a pretty serious list. But in the middle, like it had Air Bud in it.
Yeah.
But like, he immediately replied.
Yeah.
But if you're taking it seriously, you can put Air Bud. You can take Air Bud and put it with this.
Like, yeah, because people. What's funny is people would totally say that. They'd say they'd list it, and they're like. But my real list is this. I'm like, well, I never asked for anything other than your real list. I didn't ask for a joke list. But again, it speaks volumes about the state of basketball and cinema right now. So yeah, we need good basketball movies. There is a section I would consider of basketball movies that are entirely forgettable, very mediocre.
Yeah.
I personally consider Coach Carter to be one of those films. Not a bad movie, not a good one. Very forgettable.
Just there.
It's just there. I saw it in theaters, thought it was pretty, that was okay, and forgot about it. But I think the poster boy for a completely average, mediocre basketball film is the 2006 film Glory Road.
Which is unfortunate.
Which, I think Glory Road's significant. So we're going to talk about that for just a minute and then get into our top five. The significance of Glory Road is this movie should have been the de facto best basketball film that we've ever had. Should have been, because you have a great story. And it's different enough from that formula that you talked about, you know, like the idea of the retread on that story over and over and over. I think it's a different enough story about the NCAA team, the first one in history to start five African-American players. Like, great story, okay?
Yeah.
Fantastic trailer.
The trailer, yeah, we just watched the trailer. Trailers, there's enough good clips. Like, it's a mediocre film, so it's not bad. There's enough good clips to have a 3-minute solid trailer. That thing should only live as a trailer, though. Like, if you're thinking about watching Glory Road, like, don't watch the movie. Watch, pull it up on YouTube. Watch the trailer. Feel good.
Totally feel good.
Just leave it there. Just leave it right there. The thing about Glory Road was Disney made Glory Road, right? And it's from the studio that brought you Remember the Titans, okay? This was supposed to be Remember the Titans for basketball. That's how it was marketed. That's what the trailer is literally saying.
Yeah.
There is the same song from Remember the Titans in the trailer for Glory Road. I mean, they did not, left nothing to the imagination. They're like, we're going to make this as clear as possible.
Filming style.
If you didn't love Remember, if you loved Remember the Titans, you're going to love this. And everybody loved Remember the Titans, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Universally loved.
Yeah.
And it was not Remember the Titans. And it's always kind of bugged me that, like, yeah, that was the opportunity and we just squandered it. And so in my advertising class in college, one of my professors happens to be good friends with the director of Glory Road, who was a director.
Okay.
He only did ads. He's only made one feature film in his whole entire career, and that's Glory Road, and he's never made any since. But he was one of the best. It's a guy named James Gartner, a premier commercial director, like really well known. And Jerry Bruckheimer kind of has a history of taking commercial directors and trying to find like really, really talented ones and converting those people to, you know, long form cinema and seeing how it works, right? So he'd been courting this guy, right? So anyway, so there's this whole story there. But I had a professor in the advertising program that knew him well. So he Skyped into one of the classes we had. It was actually a TV commercial production class. So he Skypes in to talk about, you know, commercials, right?
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm gonna ask a question about Glory Road. I need to know, like, what happened. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, and so he totally opened up for Q&A, like questions and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah. So about Glory Road, and I didn't even get my question out before he was ready to answer the question. You know,
like he straightened up in his chair.
Yeah, he's like, look, here we go, let's do this. You know, like, but he immediately led with, I hated it. It sucks. Talking about the movie, and I was just like, you know, totally taken back. I don't know if sucks is the right word. Don't quote me on that. In fact, what's crazy about this is I tried Googling my heart out to see, like, he must have said in an interview somewhere, because it's been, you know, almost 10 years since he made the movie. It's been enough time where you can talk bad about what happened behind the scenes or whatever.
Yeah.
So he must have said this to somebody, right? So I want to make sure I'm not getting the story totally wrong. Nope, no record whatsoever. He's never said it to anybody. But he openly talks about it in this college class. And he said it just so matter-of-factly. It wasn't, you know. And so he's like, he talks about how he was doing commercials, doing great. And Jerry Bruckheimer was on him about, you know, you got to do a movie for our studio. You got to do a movie. And then the Glory Road, you know, the whole story interested him for a lot of reasons. And so he finally got wooed to go do it, you know. And he made the movie. And he said that Bruckheimer didn't like his first initial cut and essentially took all control in the editing room. He got kicked out of the editing room. And they recut the film, and they did a few reshoots, and he claims that like the film is completely different than what he had
intended.
He had envisioned. I mean, most of that stuff he filmed, almost all of it, but like he can't even watch it. So he's gone back to commercial advertising. He's super successful at it, and he never wants to do a movie again. He said it was the worst experience. He hated it. Like, he just went on and on and on, and I'm like, oh, so there was major trouble behind the scenes on Glory Road. And frankly, he claims there's a cut of that film. I guess so does Josh Trank.
Yeah, he pulled
about Fantastic Four. So to be clear, Josh Trank makes the impossible claim that there's a good version of that Fantastic Four movie when we all know that's not true. But he makes a similar claim about Glory Road, and I want to believe him. But the one chance we got to do, well, I shouldn't say one chance, but a chance to get a good basketball story right, and it's squandered by, you know, a movie studio. Surprise, surprise. So, anyway, kind of crazy that I got a chance to ask him that question because I never thought I'd be able to get to the bottom of Glory Road. So there, well,
happy
there
you
it
did,
is.
Man.
Yeah, no, and since there's no written record of that, you know, there you go. Here's this is a brave little podcast exclusive. Yeah. Please print that because I'm sure he will love it. I'm sure.
He's probably listening to the podcast right now, going, "David,
I thought I was safe."
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, geez." He's like, "I knew I screwed that up." all right, so let's jump in. We'll jump into our top five. And probably, like I said, not spend as much time because I do want to talk about documentaries as well. Yeah. And so if you want to start us off with your number five,
all right.
Let's run through.
My number five is Above the Rim.
Ooh, great.
All right, so I hadn't seen it until I heard it basically as a recommendation from Jalen Rose and Jacoby on their podcast, where they basically dedicated a whole episode to it. And I didn't listen to it because I was like, oh, wait, I kind of want to watch this now. So I went and checked it out, and it's pretty good. Like, Tupac in it, and they talked about all, like, the significance it had in, like, the rap world and stuff like that. And
so that podcast was pretty recent. I mean, it was the last couple months.
Yeah, the last couple months. I think it was, like, 2 months
ago. So that's fresh in the mind.
Yeah.
I've never seen Above the Rim all the way through. I've caught chunks of it several different, you know, over several years. But I've never actually sat down and watched it. Beginning to end.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like that it's one of the fewer ones that's based in Harlem, one of the actual movies that's based in like New York City. So it was a cool setting, and yeah, I liked it a lot.
Awesome.
Good.
Above the Rim. Mike, did you end up getting five or did you just stop at four?
Oh, man.
There's a dearth, so I don't blame you if you only have four.
So if you want more commentary on that movie, check out that.
Their podcast. Yeah, they'll go. It's really good.
If you want an hour.
Yeah, but I've actually listened to the entire podcast.
Yeah, yeah, I listened to it now. So.
Yeah, it's really good.
Was that film made in the 90s?
Above the Rim?
Above the Rim?
I think so.
I'm sure it is, yeah. It wasn't made in the 80s.
Or do you think it was made in the 2000s when Tupac came back to life?
Oh.
I'm not sure if that's a real question or a fake question. What are you getting at?
Okay, so...
are you talking about the hologram or... Oh, that'd be great if we could do a sequel to Above the Rim with hologram Tupac. Dude, I'd watch that.
A hologram totally drug
that.
Dealer.
Yeah, I'd totally watch that.
Oh my gosh. Okay, number five.
Oh, you have five.
Well, let's just say I skip number two.
So you still have four?
Still got four.
This is your number five. Okay. There's nothing that's good enough to have the number two spot. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Maybe once we get there, I'll have a number two.
All right.
And just hear me out on this one, okay?
I'm listening.
Because you're probably thinking, Mike, this is a total joke. It's not. Number five, Space Jam.
No, that's not a joke.
It's not?
Oh, no.
Thank you.
I think a lot of people...
I really hope it's not.
A lot of people put Space Jam in their top five. That's
good.
Legit.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah,
because
they stretch their arm out at the end and win in the most inconceivable way possible. Yeah, totally legit. Yeah, just drink some water and play really good at basketball.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Bill Murray's in that movie. I love Bill Murray, so you're fine.
Okay. I love that movie. When I was a kid. It's on Netflix.
But what about now?
Okay. I tried watching it just the other day. The intro is literally like 10 minutes long.
The cartoon part.
No.
We're talking about the song.
Yeah, the song. Because you wanted Jen. Yeah. Like literally, I was daydreaming. Came back from daydreaming going, oh, it's still going. What? So, anyways... Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie if you're going to rewatch it because it's so nostalgic. I mean, I remember watching that as a kid in my elementary school gym, just sitting there going...
Basketball Jones. I got a basketball Jones.
Yeah. Classic.
I can fly.
I can fly.
Yeah. Great soundtrack, man.
Fantastic.
Such a good soundtrack. Yeah. No, that's great. I'm so glad that like Michael Jordan was able to keep it and stay like keep it together and stay likable enough to like make that movie because by many accounts Jordan's not the most likable individual, certainly not the most personable, fiercely competitive, major jerk a lot of the times, and of course the greatest basketball player
and
of all time.
They even jabbed at him not being a good baseball player, and I just thought that was hilarious.
I thought
it was great.
Someone get that guy a tennis racket.
Mike, don't swing at this one. What does he do? He's gonna swing anyways. Come on.
Speaking of Jordan playing baseball, though. And this is going to switch quickly to documentaries. The documentary Jordan Rides the Bus, 30 for 30. Love that one.
Yeah.
It's a really good... There are many documentaries made about Michael Jordan. There's like an IMAX one. I mean, there's tons of them. I think Jordan Rides the Bus might be my favorite. So, yeah. And it's not even... I mean, it's all about the transition out and why. Right. It was just such a... I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again when someone's at the peak of their game, the greatest ever at that sport, and to leave inexplicably like that. It's crazy. Like, I mean, if you really think about it, what he did was crazy.
I think ESPN devoted like a whole week to LeBron James just because he said, I think I could maybe play football. Like, he just said that.
And, all right, we brought in four talking heads. Could LeBron play football? You know, like, it's just,
So for it to actually happen, I agree. I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again.
What
is going on?
Oh my gosh.
Michael, there's things alive in your garage. What is that?
Oh, dude, that's our water filter.
It made a growl. I thought honestly it was like a Halloween decoration. No, I'm not making a TIE fighter sound effect. That was a one-time thing. I knew the second I tried, the second my mouth opened, I knew it wasn't gonna work. I knew I was doomed. Oh gosh. Alec got me so good. He's like, I just want you to make the TIE fighter sound effect. And I was like, I'm not gonna do it. He asks again, and I was like, okay. Well, because Alec did it first, and I felt obligated. Is there any chance we could turn that thing off? Okay. It's like, that is loud. Anyway, sorry about that. We'll take a quick break. Michael didn't tell us he had a water filter in his garage. That makes... I honestly thought it was a Halloween decoration. Like, it was a skull that, like motion activated and, like, screams. Because it was, like, a screaming sound. And I was like, your skeletons away. But nope, the water filter. Well, you got, I mean, there's skeletons in your, to be fair, those of you who can't.
It's not an outrageous comment.
Yes. K-Balls here will definitely vouch for me. For those of you who can't see the garage, which is every one of you, the garage is littered with skeletons.
A plastic skeleton behind you, and then a skull stand that I bought at Costco.
Oh, wow.
Because my wife loves Halloween.
Yeah, dude. So do I, though. And I love Halloween movies, but I couldn't get anyone to do a Halloween episode with me because, like, look, Skylar doesn't like horror films. Aaron, who I also not a big horror movie fan. And I know. Look, seriously? I needed someone to talk to about how The Shining is the best horror film of all time. And I had nobody.
Of all time?
Well, yeah, that's a given.
What about The Conjuring?
On the DVR, haven't seen it. But that's I would have watched it before we did the pod, right?
Okay.
Look, do we want to give up on the basketball pod and just go right into the horror movie pod? Because that seems like where we're headed.
No.
Okay.
We'll save that for another time.
Let's get back to our lists.
Yeah.
I cut you off. Say what you're going to say.
We can do a belated Halloween.
That's okay. Horror movies you can talk about anytime. But I want to do one for Halloween and it couldn't happen. Are you a big horror movie fan? Like, do you like?
I
think they're mostly poorly made films. Like, I think like the genre itself does not lend itself to like great cinema. But there's a handful of films that I think are particularly special. But
I would agree with you that The Shining is probably the best one I've seen because it's actually well made.
Well, yeah, it's made by what some would consider the greatest director of all time that ever lived. So anyway, I don't know actually if he probably is. I'd probably settle on Stanley Kubrick as the greatest ever, but I actually don't know. I'd have to think about it. Who's your favorite director?
You're splitting hairs at that point.
I know. Yeah, that's probably true.
Right now, PTA.
Yeah.
Love his stuff.
Yeah.
Inherent Vice, his most recent one was...
It was different. It was just so different.
Yeah. But There Will Be Blood, killer.
But can we talk about the last third of The Master? And maybe, because help me out here, man. I was watching The Master and it was like, I was thinking PTA's done it again. This is incredible. Philip Seymour Hoffman was my very favorite actor. I mean, I guess I can still say he is. And we talk about him quite a bit on the pod. What?
I just said rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Let's just say that's something Skyler never said.
R.I.P. No, he has a strict no R.I.P. policy. None. Even in fact, when I had Aaron on the pod and we were talking about Patrice O'Neill, the comedian that that died tragically really early, I got text from Skyler when he listened to the episode, and he's like, "Whoa! Like, since when do we speak honorably about the dead on the podcast?" Like, I was like, "Well, you're right. It's probably not the decent thing to do." But anyway, all right. We're going to get back to our lists.
Back to the list. So we just finished.
We had Above the Rim.
Yep.
And then we had
Space Jam.
Space Jam, which is totally valid.
Very acceptable.
Really? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to it's great cuz my five is different. So it's not going to be a retread. But I'm going to I clicked off of the screen. So there it is. My number five, He Got Game. Have either of you seen He Got Game?
So I'm assuming I'm next. It's my number four.
Okay, perfect. Well, then let's talk about it jointly. So He Got Game is Denzel, Spike Lee joint. You know what? No, it's a Spike Lee film. I'm not gonna be beholden to Spike Lee's own naming conventions. Yeah. It's a film. You're a filmmaker.
It is.
A Spike Lee film. All right. Denzel Washington. And Ray Allen.
Yeah.
And in a surprisingly good performance as Jesus Shuttlesworth. I love that they grabbed, that they got an actual NBA player to play that role.
Yeah.
And that Inuyuzio is fairly new. And that he did kind of good. Because if I looked at Ray Allen right now, he would not be on my short list of NBA players
right.
that would make a, like, to be good at acting.
Totally.
Right? Like, totally would not pick Ray Allen. It's like quiet, dedicated, 3-point shooting assassin, but not like the extroverted type that is very like, what am I trying to say? He's not the most expressive person.
Sure. So Spike Lee, I don't know if you've heard, he said that he also gave offers to Allen Iverson and Stephon Marbury for this role, but they refused to try out. They just wanted the role to be given to them.
Oh, of course.
So Ray Allen actually auditioned for this role.
Which is the most Ray Allen thing to do. You know, surprise, Allen Iverson and Stephon Marbury don't want to audition for a role. They want everything given to them. But Ray Allen goes and does the work, wins the part.
Yeah, so
yeah.
There's a little background.
Yeah, and he does that Shuttlesworth. He had that Shuttlesworth.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Was it the Heat jersey?
Yeah.
Pretty sure?
Yeah.
Oh, so
we
awesome.
All wore their
names. I have extremely mixed feelings about Spike Lee as a filmmaker. I think he's made a handful of really great films and a lot of really awful ones.
Sure.
He is not consistent at all.
His most recent NBA 2K runs the My Career mode.
Oh, yeah.
He directs NBA 2K.
I know. I was like, well, terrific.
So that's where his career is at.
Great. Thanks, Spike Lee, for directing this video game. I have mixed feelings about it. But look, this is I think this is his best film. And Denzel Washington, I mean, the guy's going to come in and just, you know, kill most roles. He's so good. And so I figured he'd make my list somewhere. I put it number five. This is about Denzel Washington as a father coming out of prison, who has a son that is like this highly touted basketball recruit. And it's kind of this father-son story of a conflicted, talented basketball son. And, you know, from the project from rough kind of a rough upbringing, similar to that, the story that you could, you know, tell about a lot of NBA players. Why is it your number four?
I really enjoyed it because I thought about this before I heard him say that the reason Spike Lee wanted it to be a real NBA player is because he actually wanted basketball to be good. That's probably another part that makes it why there's not a bunch of good basketball movies. It's like basketball is very clearly bad when it's by actors.
Totally.
Like, you can kind of get away with, like, faking baseball and faking football, but basketball just looks really bad.
Yeah, no, it's true. I can buy Ray Liotta as Shoeless Joe Jackson, right, in Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Sure, okay?
Yeah.
What? No big deal. But when I see when I see real actors trying to play basketball especially, and maybe that answers part of the question. I don't know if it's something about the form and there's just, I don't know. You can't put a football helmet on them and hide them in pads, you know,
because
you can put
anything. Or like if you're like batting in baseball, you can have a guy just stand in the plate. But like if you're playing basketball, like someone has to dribble the ball.
Yep. Someone has to play.
Yeah, it has to. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I really like that part that it's like, this is an NBA player doing this. And then I thought it was a really good story that this conflict that Ray Allen has, like his dad's getting out of jail for murdering his mom.
Yeah.
So like, I think like the first thing he says to him is like, you're not my dad, basically.
Yeah. Right.
So there's that conflict the whole movie. And like you said, Denzel Washington does a great job.
So good. So good. Shout out to Denzel Washington. He actually, he helped me ask, my girlfriend, my senior year of high school to the prom. And so he was very nice about it. I'm being 100% serious right now. Michael can vouch for me.
He's got a picture.
Yep. Met him in New York City, and he helped me. I did a video asking her to go to prom with me, and Denzel Washington is in that video. So.
That's awesome.
Was that before or after you bought a bunch of illegal DVDs from just a back room?
Oh. In like Chinatown in New York City? Oh, this is definitely after. Still have all those DVDs, by the way. Terrible quality. It's like, it's a bunch of random movies like In Good Company with like Topher Grace and Dennis Quaid. Like movies that people don't remember.
I got a great deal for this DVD.
I thought it was so cool that I bought a bunch of DVDs that were going to come out in, like movies that were going to come out in theaters 7 days later. You know?
Yeah.
I had bragging rights for 7 days, so... Wow, that was Canal Street. Yeah, Canal
Street. I don't know why I'm thinking this, but it just blew my mind. I was in the theaters a couple of months ago for seeing Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, I didn't. And, I never saw it.
So here's why I saw it. Thanks to this podcast, shout out. I got a movie pass.
Yes, hey, no sponsor way. The pod. Hey, yeah. It worked. All right.
So why not go see every movie?
Yeah.
So I saw Man from U.N.C.L.E. Didn't know this still happened. I look behind me. There's like 10 people in the theater because it's been in theaters a little while.
Yeah.
There's this girl sitting alone filming it on her phone.
No, she's not.
The whole movie.
On her phone?
She sat there the whole movie with her phone just like in front of her mouth. Filming it. And I was like, what are you possibly doing with it? It was, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Did you like slip her? Did you slip her a note that's like, hey, can you email me a copy? Because more than anything, I'm going to want an iPhone 5 version of Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
That's not gonna look good at all. Like, who's gonna want that?
That's the kind of stuff that ends up in Chinatown.
Wow.
Probably not. It's probably worse than anything that shows up in Chinatown. Yeah.
So right. I've mentioned this before. I worked in a movie theater in high school for 2 years. Right. This is pre-smartphone. Yeah. So people couldn't use smartphones, but people still tried. You know, it didn't happen often where we were, but there were a couple of times where I had to go. I was instructed to go into a theater because there was a report of like piracy, someone doing it. And I mean, homeboys are setting up tripods with these huge cameras. You're like, hey, yeah, this is probably isn't okay. Like, I also don't think, like, how did you think you were going to get away with this?
Yeah. At least with an iPhone, you can like, oh shoot, and just like tuck it away.
Totally. I mean, you could make it look like you're texting or any number of things, right? Like no one's going to, you know. But not back then.
Like,
not
to, you might as well just walk in with like a GoPro strapped to your forehead.
No, totally, yeah. You walk in there and the guy's like, oh, shoot, you know. It's like a 15-minute setup and dead time. I'm just like, well. But yeah, man, people try it. But man, I'm gonna try and look for a torrent of that. That specific girl's.
It's like a 15-year-old girl.
Is Man from U.N.C.L.E. any good or no?
It was better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be totally boring.
Honestly, I didn't know what to think. All I could think of after the trailer was, I have no idea what time period this film takes place in. I think it could be the 40s or 50s. It also could be now.
The acting was Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Superman.
He did a good job.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right.
But, I mean, it's a Netflix or whatever, Redbox,
yeah,
whatever.
Sure. Great. So the movie pass, by the way, did you sign? I'm curious. Did you actually do the whole 12 month, or did you 3 month, or like what was the
I think
agreement?
I pay by month.
Oh, you do a month by month. You're not on a contract contractually.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, it sounds like maybe I'm not updated on their service offerings.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna actually do a little homework on
really
a sponsor. So, but hey, buy it anyway, because it's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I had movie pass when I was in New York City, when movies cost, like, yeah, if I go like a weekend night, it was like $17 or something like that. And then IMAX was like $24 or it was just absurd. And I use my movie pass every single day.
Yeah.
Super useful there. A little bit less useful in Utah only because it's a lot cheaper, but still, I mean, I see movies all the time. So movie pass is great. And this is our obligatory mention of our sponsor.
www.moviepass.org.
.mobi. Don't go to .com. That's not, we're not affiliated with that. This is strictly the .mobi. No. Okay. No, MoviePass is really great. That's so great that you got MoviePass. Had you not heard of it before?
I hadn't.
No, that's great. Awesome. All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, who's up?
So my number four was He Got Game.
Yeah, your number four was He Got Game. So your number four, Michael?
Okay, this is one of the 30 for 30s.
Documentaries. Oh, we're gonna go over documentaries separately now. Although honestly, my number one is a documentary, but I'm gonna allow that to be the lead in to the documentary.
Okay, then I'll just throw out another movie that I really liked. That's basketball.
Okay, good. Okay.
Interstellar.
All right, where are you going with this?
Oh my god.
Can I use one of the spots for a non-basketball movie? Oh, sure.
I was thinking about this one.
All right, which one?
Hoosiers.
Yeah.
A great basketball movie.
It's going to be on Kevin's list later on. It's going to be on my list later on. Why did you say Hoosiers as if you're going to be surprised when I mentioned the most popular basketball movie ever?
So far, Space Jam and Hoosiers. Not sure if these are good. So as you get more confident, I'm worried.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is going to count, but there's this Gene Hackman movie. It's about this basketball team in Indiana. Oh, yeah, sure. What many people consider the greatest basketball movie of all time. Yeah, that'll count.
Well, you just said that I can't do my 30 for 30s yet.
Yeah, so did you run out of material? You don't have anything else?
That's it.
Your list is done. Okay, all right. Well, we'll hurry and get through the rest, and let's jump to the docs. Hoosiers is great. We're obviously going to talk about it here in a sec. Hey, Mike, you're doing good, by the way. I feel like I'm beating up on you. You're doing great. I'm sorry. You're doing good. I'm so proud of you.
If you're... Okay, you know what? How about we start out a new tweet? Hashtag David...
Don't do this. You'll lose this battle.
In an alternate poll.
You're going to lose this battle.
In an alternate poll, hashtag, is it basketball? Hoosiers. Yes or no?
Hashtag, is it a basketball movie? Is Hoosiers a basketball movie?
It's on my list. Of course it's a basketball movie.
I can't believe that. Okay. Just kidding. So I'm going to jump into my number four is White Men Can't Jump, which is Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson, which just quickly, Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson would be a great duo for True Detective Season 3. And I'm like not totally joking when I say that. Probably because Woody Harrelson was great in the first season, and Wesley Snipes hasn't done anything meaningful since he got busted for tax evasion.
Well, now he's back on a TV show.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched it though.
Me either.
Okay, well,
but he's doing that.
So it turns out it's a hit. People love it. So White Man Can't Jump. Is it? I don't know if it's on your list or not. I'm one ahead of you again.
It's number three on my list.
It's number three on your list. See, and I figured this would be the case. White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah. So, it is the funniest out of all these movies.
Definitely.
Really, and then it also looks at the opposite coast. We're in California now. Just a really cool subculture of, like, who this is looking at. Like, Woody Harrelson's character, broke guy, playing ball. And then Wesley Snipes' character, as you learn more about him, like, somehow this guy with, like, 10 different jobs.
Yeah.
Some like has this wife that like wants to like make a life for herself. He's like, I just want to ball and hustle people in the streets when they try and shank me, but it's all good. I don't know. I rewatched this today. So
it's been a while actually for me, and I've seen the movie countless times. And I've probably seen it on cable TV, like portions of it countless times. I mean, it seems like it's one of the movies that's played on TV through the years many times. But I think it's a classic. Love White Man Can't Jump. But you just watched it today.
Yeah, and kind of like He Got Game, not to the extent, because it's not Ray Allen, but it actually looks like good basketball in this movie, for sure.
They were able to hide any deficiencies. And what's great about the good basketball is Woody Harrelson was able to take all the skills and the training for that movie and use it again in Semi-Pro, which is a movie people list. If you look up, I looked up so many lists of good basketball movies, and people unironically were listing Semi-Pro as the top five basketball.
So I wonder, like, when I say White Men Can't Jump is the funniest on our list, if someone goes, no.
No, whoa. What about, no. Semi-Pro.
They're yelling at their...
Does Hoosiers count as a comedy? Or...
Yeah.
Are you done? Are you done?
No. That will not be the last Hoosiers reference.
I know. I just know.
Great. So that's your number three.
Yeah, that's my number three.
So my number three, back to the about NBA players, you know, actually being cast in real movies to play basketball, or just basketball players, I should say. Blue Chips.
It was so close on my list.
It's close to your list. Okay. Yeah. I love Blue Chips. Love it. And it's got Penny Hardaway. It's got and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Nick Nolte fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still actually kind of bummed that he didn't win an Oscar for Warrior. Man. So
that scene
good.
In the hotel room,
the Ahab scene, heartbreaking. When he in the casino when he throws all the coins on him and what is he says F off or whatever it was, it's just heartbreaking.
Worst trailer, best movie.
Well, the marketing behind Warrior was awful. They marketed it as a UFC movie.
Yeah,
and frankly, that's it's a growing sport and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But that's
But going, like, going into that movie, just watching the trailer, I thought it was going to be UFC.
I only went to see the movie, like, on opening night. And, like, I mean, Lindsay watched a trailer and she's like, you know, I totally understood. It's like, yeah, I can understand. I'm not really into UFC either. And I don't know that I would have even cared. But I had just met Joel Edgerton at Sundance, and he was, like, the nicest guy. And I was like, I really wanted to support that guy. So I go only because he's in it. And, like, I was about 10 minutes into Warrior. And I, like, looked around the room, like, in the theater, and been like, oh, my gosh, are you all watching the same thing I am?
Yeah.
Probably. But, like, this is incredible. Like, the scene towards the beginning of the movie, where he's on the front lawn, and Joel Edgerton's character won't let him say hi to his grandkids, you know? And he's like, oh, is that, you know, he's trying to look at them. It's just, like, I knew immediately, I was like, oh, this is something special, because I'm feeling some serious emotions.
Yeah.
What I consider Warriors my go-to, like, criminally underappreciated movie.
Yeah.
Underseen.
So it's kind of story for me. It was a hard sell getting my then girlfriend to go see this movie with me.
Yeah.
She loved it. Because at first it was it's about fighting in MMA.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but it's a family drama. It's about father and sons and like, so good. You know, I got out of that theater. The first thing I did, I called my dad to tell him I loved him because I felt like I had to.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, Dad, you've been so good. I went back and saw it with Lindsay. I promised her she would like it, and she did. She really, really liked the movie.
And then what did you do? You called me up. We saw it like the next day.
Yeah, yeah. I went through. I called like as many of my friends as I think would appreciate it. Like,
but I was number
three. You don't understand. It looks dumb. The trailer. Don't even watch the trailer. All the marketing material is awful. This movie's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just talked about more about Warrior than Blue Chips. but yeah, just go see Blue Chips. but Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte plays this basketball coach, this college basketball coach that's really trying his best to play by the rules.
Yeah.
And I think that's like more topical than ever. Blue Chips, check it out if you haven't. It's a little bit older of a film. So,
it's good though.
Yeah, it's great. So what's next on your list?
Next on my list is Space Jam.
Oh, Space Jam.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
Up top.
So, you said you tried to watch it recently.
Yeah.
Me? No. This still is like 100% nostalgia factor in my mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I still love this movie.
Yeah.
Because I watched it like 100 times when I was little, and it was the best. It was like the best movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
Lindsay, do you want to say hi?
Oh, my wife's walking by here. Lindsay, first time on the pod.
Oh, hello.
I want your first...
Hi, I'm Kevin.
This is K-Balls. Kevin, this is Kevin Ryan Balzer. You can call him the great KRB or K-Balls. And then you got, this is Michael Hyland, who you've known.
Oh, hi.
You probably knew Michael before you knew me, huh?
You did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I knew Michael first.
And it's because of me, you guys are married.
That's actually true.
Thank you.
Because Michael took me to the event that I met you at.
Yep.
I was home for the summer from college.
So I'm expecting.
And I've been married for 5 years.
I'm expecting at least a middle name of one of your kids.
Michael?
Yes.
Ooh.
Please.
I really wish you could have had a better name. I have a bad name too. I'm not going to name my kids David. It's plain. It's kind of
That's
vanilla.
That's my dad's name.
Oh, shoot. I'm a huge Dave Hyland fan now. He is the exception. All right, Lindsay, your favorite basketball movie?
Air Bud.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for your contribution.
I know it's not really a basketball movie.
No, it is.
I haven't.
As much
really
as Hoosiers is.
I haven't seen any other basketball movies besides Space Jam.
Space Jam's a great
I really
one.
Like Space Jam, though. But I would say I started to really love Golden Retrievers after watching Air Bud.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I really like it.
Don't close that door yet.
Oh, what?
All right, great. Well, thanks. No, we appreciate that. You went and saw Spectre. I'll get your opinion on that. I heard you saw it right now, right?
I did.
I'm curious to get your opinion later on that.
Okay.
Maybe your hot take right now. Good or bad? Good or bad?
15 seconds. Go.
Really good. I was confused a little bit by how many women were in the movie.
Oh. Not one of the things that confused me.
No. I was like, wait, how does this girl relate to the story? Because the one in the beginning, he's like, I'll see you later. Then you never saw her.
Well, that's
and I was like,
well, what James does.
The whole movie. I was like, when is he going to see that girl? Oh. And he never did.
Yeah. I should probably show you more James Bond movies. He does this thing where... Where he spends an evening with a woman and then never calls her again.
No, actually I did like it. It was pretty good.
Great.
It's like there's 26 of them, right? Then there's at least 26 of those girls.
Yeah, at least. Two in the last one. Yeah. The key being, you know, two women who both recently had someone close to them die.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that
later. Okay, sorry. We're turning into Spectre Pod. All right. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so we just talked about...
Space Jam.
And then
so I was going to mention, speaking of Grantland earlier.
Oh, yeah.
There was an amazing Zach Lowe article like 2 years ago where I guess he mentioned in a podcast that he had never seen it. And so he got all these mentions on Twitter like,
right.
Oh, yeah. You've never seen this? You have to. So in true Zach Lowe fashion, he did a full basketball breakdown of Space Jam. Ultimately said it wasn't that great.
I was gonna say, like, I remember him not liking it.
He didn't like it. He basically was like, it's unbelievable. Like, why would Michael Jordan's kids not be alarmed by the cartoon stealing their dad?
Or or maybe just the fact that at the end they win by stretching their
right.
body
so,
parts.
Oh, I should have.
Well, maybe that's because Space Jam probably shouldn't be experienced for the first time when you're in your like mid-30s.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe it's the type of thing that you should like grow up on and then be nostalgic about later.
So I took a screenshot of his last line. Space Jam doesn't really work for an adult. But there's just enough NBA and cartoon goodness peppered in there to make it semi-watchable. I'm in for a sequel. I think that's in reference to the
LeBron
James.
Please, please don't do that. If we're ever going to make it, we don't need a sequel. We do not need a sequel to Space Jam. Okay? If Hollywood insists, which they do, then the clear pick is Michael B. Jordan in the lead role. One, because he has the same name as the guy from the first movie. And two, Michael B. Jordan's actually a legit good basketball player because I watched him in the All-Star game, playing the Celebrity All-Star game.
Yeah.
This is what I think. If they're going to do a sequel, have it be LeBron, but with the Muppets or Sesame Street. It can't be Looney Tunes.
You know what? Why stop there? How about the whole cast from Family Guy?
Oh,
there we go. Why can't it be The Simpsons and LeBron James?
Yeah. So, one thing we didn't touch on that I really liked in this movie, I thought all the supporting NBA players
were
great.
That.
Yes.
So, I am a huge fan of, by the way, I've been name dropping like crazy, and I'm well aware of it, and I'm going to keep on keeping on. Gosh, it's great that I say name dropping, and then I'm immediately forgetting the name that I was going to say. But look, he's 7'6". He's we shared the same alma mater at BYU. He's in the movie Space Jam, and he loses his powers. And his name is...
Patrick Ewing.
Patrick Ewing from BYU. Just all-time BYU great. What am I doing? Sean Bradley. True story. About 6 weeks ago, Sean Bradley requests my friendship on Facebook.
Whoa.
We have like 6 or 8 friends in common because we're like people that live in Utah. He definitely doesn't know who I am, but for some reason thought he did, and I accepted that invitation. I immediately accepted. And I was like, I might have a small window of time until he figures it out. Because
if
he even looks at my profile, I'd be like, oh, I don't know this guy.
He'd message him and be like, are you sure?
Yeah. Like, is this for real?
You
for real? I was like, I'm gonna Facebook stalk the heck out of this before he removes our friendship, which was promptly removed within 48 hours. Probably started reading my post and was like, who is this clown? I don't know.
Well, it's because you like immediately tagged him, like, oh my god.
I actually tagged him in all my profile pictures. I'm like, hey dude, I saw you were in a movie with Charles Barkley. Could you introduce me to him? Anyway, so you got Charles Barkley,
Patrick Ewing, Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, Muggsy Bogues.
Larry Bird.
Muggsy Bogues. Oh, that's so good. Larry Bird. In Space Jam?
Yeah.
I don't think he's in Space Jam, man. Larry Bird?
Let's make a bet right now.
Does Larry Bird play basketball?
Okay.
Before you look it up.
No.
Just
no. Is there? Yeah. First question is he a football player or a basketball player? I don't know. Okay.
Both.
Larry Bird. Larry Bird in Space Jam? There's no way.
Oh yeah. Before you look it up.
Okay. What are we
gonna
wager on?
This movie was made in the '90s.
Okay. What are we gonna wager on?
Okay. Let's wager on.
You're saying he's one of the basketball players that loses his powers.
I'm saying he's in the movie.
Ah, that opens it up a little too. He could be in the background.
He's in the movie.
Dang it. No, I'm gonna dig my heels in.
I'm
doubling down.
K-balls. What are we gonna bet on?
A junior bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's.
Oh come on.
What else do you want?
I don't know, Costco hot dog.
How about I'll get you a water filter that doesn't make that freaking noise.
Oh my gosh, that's a good water.
I'll get you a Blu-ray copy of Hoosiers. Blu-ray copy of Hoosiers.
How about a Blu-ray copy of Star Wars?
Or he'll frame.
You want the despecialized?
You can get a framed picture of the definition of basketball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Just that's perfect.
Basketball, the sport, and then there will be a picture of the Hoosiers.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Poster.
Yeah, a Hoosiers poster.
Okay.
A Hoosiers poster.
Yeah, that's much better.
I can put it out in my garage.
Space Jam is... This is about to get real.
Oh, man. Is Hoosier Larry poster. Bird in? Can't wait. And $20.
Boop, boop, boop. Nope. doesn't look like he's in there. No. And cool. All right, good.
What year was Space Jam made?
We talking about Larry Bird?
Don't look that up. I was like, just trust me. Yeah, he's on the golf course with Bill Murray, okay? He's in the golf course scene. Dang it. Bill Murray's wearing a friggin'...
What year was Space Jam made?
Is that a quiz or...
No, I don't know.
Okay, I was like, because this is going to be another wager. I've already lost one thing tonight.
96.
In 1992, Dream Team, already Larry Bird was like... Oh, unable to move.
Like falling apart.
After game, so I'm sure 1996, the aliens did not want his basketball skills. They were like,
uninterested. So I totally thought you meant one of the basketball players. I didn't even think about him being in the rest of the movie.
But you still made the bet after.
Because I doubled down. Because I got.
You got greedy.
Unfortunately, you chose nothing to receive if he was wrong.
No. Hoosiers poster.
I never said that.
Someone said a Hoosiers poster.
Never said that. Thankfully, this conversation isn't being recorded. So you can actually run that back and see if I'm lying or not. All right. So, okay. Woo. Let's wrap this bad boy up. This list, I mean. All right.
So, my number one?
Yeah. What's your number one?
My number one's Hoosiers.
Me too.
Surprise.
Yeah. So, it's kind of crazy because we've been talking like, hey, good basketball. Yeah. This is my number one. This is some bad basketball at times. There's a scene when they're in the quarterfinals of their playoff run where they're up by two. The team brings the ball up the court and they double team, or the one guy like corners the ball handler like near the mid-court line. And then another guy just comes like crawls up to him basically and like reaches his hands out slowly. And steals the ball for the win. Like, just the most inept player ever. It's not great. Like,
No, I don't, there's not, Hoosiers, not known for, what should I say, like photorealistic or like realistic basketball play on film. It's very much, there's a very staged feel to it.
Yeah.
Yet it's got this heart and it's old and you forgive it, you know? Yeah. And that it's just like, it just makes it the classic. A lot of people reference Hoosiers as the greatest movie of all time, greatest basketball movie.
Or sports. Some people think it's the greatest sports movie of all time.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. It's mentioned up there. So it's, I think, in terms of non-docs, it'd be mine because that's my next on my list is Hoosiers, right? But I actually have a documentary as number one before I decided to make a separate list for documentaries. Which, by the way, my number one film is Hoop Dreams. I know. We'll talk about it. I know. I figured we'd talk about it.
I didn't choose it.
I know. But you would, I'm sure, because Hoop Dreams is unbelievable.
Yes.
Okay. It's incredible, and I recommend everyone watch it if you haven't. It's
3 hours long, though.
It's really long.
Carve out some time.
But yeah, so I put that as my number one just because, like, I was so upset that there weren't, you know, there's not a lot of great basketball movies. But yeah, Hoosiers is great. Look, the scene with Chit Wood at the end being like, I'll make it.
Yeah.
It's the classic scene. That's always referenced. Bill Simmons talks about that all the time.
Yeah.
Where he draws up the play and then he's like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with you guys? Like, what is it? And he just looks him right in the eyes. I'll make it. Yeah. And he makes it. A great little slow motion shot.
There's a nice, some Rick Barry free throws thrown in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Underhand game winners.
Oh, man. So Hoosiers is. Love it.
You cannot forget the slow clap.
What are you talking about?
In
what scene specifically? I'm looking to just question your credibility.
Oh, so it's when Roger Rabbit comes into the scene.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah,
yeah. Still on Space Jam, huh?
Come on.
Okay, I want to make. I want before we go to docs, I do want to run through some lists that were sent in. A lot of stuff. My brother-in-law himself was a high school basketball star at Folsom High School. Very good at basketball. Loves basketball. His list to me, he sends me number one, Air Bud, number two, Eddie, number three, Love and Basketball, number four, Baseball, and number five, Thunderstruck. and he never gave me a real one. So I don't know if that's fake or real. But just thought I'd give him that shout out. And then Jordan Lewis. You know Jordan Lewis?
I do.
Yeah. Jordan Lewis also grew up in our same area. And he said it was hard for him to come up with five because he doesn't think there's that many good basketball movies. And he's right. Yep. His number one, Hoosiers. Number two, Blue Chips. Number three, Glory Road. Number four, Air Up There, which I actually haven't seen. And then number five, Sixth Man. So, but there's
yeah.
a few common ones in there. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, because you just mentioned Sixth Man. Yeah, that was one that I enjoyed. And then I was 10 when it came out, so it was like kind of prime for me.
Oh.
Like Mike, I enjoyed that when I like first saw it. I'm sure now it's
well,
not.
Well, as did I, because it had Sacramento Kings Chris Webber.
Yeah.
And look.
It was a really cool like idea, just like for like the basis of like a fun movie.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was marketed for...
They didn't mean to make a second.
Yeah. And it also like isn't... I mean, it's clearly not a movie that's like taking itself...
Right. It's not trying to be...
Yeah. It knows its market and it made a movie for that market, and that's fine.
Yeah.
A couple other lists here. Rhett Hildebrand. Number one, Space Jam. And then the rest of them are jokes. He says Space Jam is real. He said, all jokes aside, Space Jam really is my number one. But he put one that's a really good one about, and this is on the recurring theme of actually using basketball players as, you know, in the acting roles, which I think it makes so much more sense to teach basketball players to act than to teach actors how to play basketball.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it's just, you know, and so I'm glad in the movie Kazam that they got Shaq to play the genie.
Yeah.
I have nothing else to say after that. I'll say this about Kazan, because I say Kazan because Rhett Hildebrand brought it up, but it was among his five best basketball movies.
Didn't Shaq get a tattoo specifically for that movie?
Did he?
I don't know.
I don't know. I've never heard that. I will say this about Kazan. I saw it in theaters. I remember so clearly watching it, and it was the first movie I can remember as a kid where, because, I mean, when you're young, you watch any movie and you're going to like any movie. You know, it's just, you don't. I wasn't like I had refined taste in movie, you know? But this was the first one where I felt something like, this is bad. Like, something's gone wrong here. Like, I don't like the way I'm feeling. This is a terrible movie. And it's like, you know, famously awful. But like, that was the first one where, you know, I was like, oh no. trouble. But one more list. My buddy Eric Wood, the guy that actually was sitting next to Hermwezy and I and Steve Jobs when we went to go see it, which was kind of crazy. A friend that I grew up with that we famously debate about the best, what's a better boxing film, Rocky or Cinderella Man. And to me, it's crazy that he even asks because it's Rocky. I love Cinderella Man. Look, it's a good movie. Russell Crowe is great. Paul Giamatti, love him. But Rocky is not close. One of those is a Best Picture winner, okay?
Yeah.
The other one's not. Not that Oscars should be the barometer.
Like, Lone Survivor's not awful, but then there's
but they're Saving Private
Ryan.
Oh yeah, right, exactly. It's like Lone Survivor, great. It was fine for a while. I didn't like strongly dislike the film, but whatever. But there are war movies that are like classic, you know. That's how I view Cinderella Man. I enjoyed it at the time. Now I see Michael has a look on his face, and he's about to defend Cinderella Man.
Nope, I'm not because
yes, you are.
You're just gonna destroy.
I won't. I won't. I've been giving you a hard time.
The one reason why I love Cinderella Man is specifically because of Stephen Gibson. If you're listening to this...
He's not.
Okay, never mind.
I was like, Gibson has never listened to the podcast.
So when we saw it, we were the only ones in the theater, but we were so pumped up, we were running up and down the aisles pretending like we were boxing.
That's great.
But yeah, great movie, but...
Yeah.
You usually see Rocky play on TV more than
I love Rocky so much. So, and Creed looks awesome, by the way. I'm really excited. I mean, they cut those trailers real. That's actually a really good trailer.
Yeah.
So Eric, the Cinderella Man defender, his list was like so similar to what we've been talking about. One, Hoosiers. Two, White Man Can't Jump. Three, He Got Game. Four, The Pistol. So this is a different one. The Pete Maravich film. And he does put in parentheses, this movie is so good, but it does have terrible acting, which is the caveat, and it really does. But I watched that movie on repeat as a kid, and so it's a little bit different. And then five was Blue Chips. So again, another example of not a lot of great movies to choose from, a lot of repeats here. So let's move to documentaries because they're so much better. And I know we've been recording for a while, but let's jump into this because Hoop Dreams is the definitive basketball documentary, right? No one's going to question. That goes up top, and then it's everything else. So let's talk about everything else. We can dive into Hoop Dreams a little bit right now, but then we'll jump into the actual 30 for 30s. But Hoop Dreams is directed by Steve James, who actually did a 30 for 30 that I quite liked, about the trial. It's no crossover, the trial of Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson.
Yeah. Great 30 for 30.
I think that was the first basketball 30 for 30.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was one of the first 30 for 30s.
I remember I watched the trial of Allen Iverson at jury duty in downtown Sacramento, and I was like, you know, for my like lunch break, I'd love to get like a courtroom drama or something to watch. I was trying to look for something that said the word trial in it, and I saw that, and I was like, oh, I'll put the trial of Allen Iverson. Not what I was expecting at the time, but I hadn't jumped fully into 30 for 30s yet. But I watched it, and it was like, it was really, really good. But anyway, so Steve James, Hoop Dreams, is him following two talented basketball...
Well, it's kind of like what Kevin was talking about. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
K-Balls.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what K-Balls was talking about earlier. Two inner city, you know, kids trying to make it to the big leagues.
Yeah, and the two, you know, for all intents and purposes, very talented basketball players, and he wanted to follow their journeys, which, you know, it's amazing that he didn't know what was going to, obviously he didn't know what was going to happen, but it's amazing how everything plays out. It's a very, like...
It's over the course of 8 years.
8 years. So it's like the Boyhood thing, right? Although I should say Boyhood's like the Hoop Dreams thing. But anyway, he goes back to... This takes place the south side of Chicago, right? And he keeps going back over the course of these 8 years. I don't know a lot of the details about how much time he spent when.
Yeah.
I know that like there's this crazy scene in there where you know, one of the guys he's following, his mom, they don't have money to pay the bills. Their lights go out, you know. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, the film crew ended up like paying for and getting it all turned on. But like, you know, it's crazy what those kids go through, because look, they get recruited to these like prep schools that cost all this money, you know, and then if they don't perform, they come out and they have to go back to the public school, and it's this crazy system, and it's heartbreaking, in some cases inspirational, but this very authentic look at what it's like for these kids who bet their everything on basketball, and like
and their family,
and they have a one in a million,
more.
I mean that. The odds are worse than 1 in a million that they're going to make it to the NBA. And so, anyway, this is, again, the seminal basketball documentary. But anything to add on Hoop Dreams?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard if you have seen it to argue that it's not the best one. And I'm sure over the course of that 8 years, the directors very quickly realized, like, this is much more than a basketball movie.
Yep.
And it definitely is. But it really just... Because, like we mentioned, so many of the NBA players now like come from a background like that, and it really makes you like have this sympathy for them. Like so many kids that are growing up in places like that and going through stuff like that, it's even if you are totally uninterested in basketball, watch this.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I totally agree with that. This is something really everyone should watch. You get an opportunity to like really get an inside look, especially for people who are totally unfamiliar with that, even that lifestyle or that area of town or whatever what these guys are going through. Like, it's just people, it's nice to be able to be a little educated on that, because it's really eye-opening.
In his review, Roger Ebert called this the best movie of the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, that's Roger Ebert.
Like, full stop.
Yeah, that's it. No caveats, no, you know, no qualifiers. Not documentary, one of the best. He said the best movie of the 90s.
Yep.
Wow. Good Will Hunting came out in the 90s.
It did.
That's your favorite movie.
Saving Private Ryan came out in the
90s. It did come out in the 90s.
Holy Armageddon.
God. Schindler's List.
Armageddon came out in the 90s.
I got a box of cracker jacks.
I know we've had a lot of tangents here, but I feel like since I got K-Balls here for just this one time, I like want to get as many opinions from him as possible.
Yeah.
But quickly, you mentioned Schindler's List. Best Spielberg film. What's your favorite? Like, what would you... We're going to do a pod at a later date.
Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan, number one. Michael?
That's a good one.
Just curious.
Can you just give me some time?
I think I know what yours is.
On the spot.
Yeah, I've mentioned it several times, and I'll talk about it probably in the pod that we do. I'm just curious off the top of your head, but think about it.
So,
I'd like to do with these documentaries, let's just like read through what's on your list, and then let's pick the ones we want to talk about.
Okay, so Hoop Dreams is on there.
Yep.
Absolutely. Are these all 30 for 30s? No. One is not. So More Than a Game is not.
Oh, yeah. More Than a Game is not.
Is okay, the story of LeBron James.
LeBron James, yeah.
Growing up.
Was More Than a Game... First off...
It's from ESPN. But.
Oh, see, okay. Because I feel like there have been many LeBron documentaries. Because there's one that came out in theaters. And I remember seeing it. And it followed his high school team.
Okay.
That's not More Than a Game, though.
More Than a Game follows the high school team. But it starts like when he's like six. Like, I don't know how they had this footage. Yeah. But it's like... It's him all the way up to.
Is he the primary focus, or is it actually focus on the team? And he's, you know, he's obviously a big part of it because of LeBron. But like,
yeah,
I'm trying to remember if More Than a Game. Thing. I need to look it up. No, I probably should just look it up.
But I mean, it focuses on the whole team. Like, he dives deep into.
Yeah,
each
okay,
guy.
It's probably what I saw. I think that had a theatrical release. One of the LeBron documentaries did.
But yeah, it's really good. Like, it's.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, it's really a testament to how good LeBron has been for his whole life at basketball, because. You have to be that good to like have people start making a movie about you and like getting film of you from the very beginning.
And how crazy is it? He was that good that young, but also that he lived up to that potential.
Exactly.
Like, and you know, is the and greatest player in the NBA.
A really cool story. Like the five guys that started on his basketball team in high school, they played together since they were like in the second grade or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're like still best friends to this day.
And a lot of them are like on his team, you know.
Yeah, a lot of them like.
Yeah, yeah. He's giving them all jobs.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
Which is awesome. Good for him. I'd do the same thing.
But it's just, it's a really interesting look at like how crazy his life got in high school. Like, he's a very level-headed, like, superstar. And see like what happens to most people when they're given that much attention so young.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have 1,000 examples of what happens. We have Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber and if you see kids that have exposed to celebrity at an early age, more often than not, it messes them up.
And even to more extent, like, he wasn't obviously like on TV, like national TV when he's like 12, but I don't think anyone's calling like Justin Bieber or anything like that a savior. Like, people are calling him like the savior of Ohio and stuff like that. So like that would get to my head. So
yeah, like, Justin Bieber's not, he's not saving Canada.
No, he's not.
He's doing a lot of harm to that country. Good people up there. No, but you're right though. Like, I mean, it's pretty incredible. As upset as I was that LeBron went to Miami when he made that announcement, which was the announcement was the kickoff to my bachelor party. I got married the next day. Okay, this is 5.5 years ago, or whatever. And we're all huddled around. We're at Gibson's house. There's a whole bunch of us guys, and we all had our bets. Like, some saw Chicago. I thought the Knicks, and some thought, you know, he's gonna stay with Cleveland.
I thought Chicago.
And for me, it was like, I thought Knicks first, Chicago second. The reason why I didn't think Chicago was like, I mean, you got the Jordan shadow. Why would you want to do that? If you have a chance to maybe be as good or better, like maybe, why would you want to do it at the same place? But, and I thought the Knicks would like, oh, come be the savior of New York City where they haven't had good basketball in forever. But no, he went to Miami. None of us were expecting that. I think it may have leaked early, but none of us had read it. No one predicted Miami. Mm-hmm. And we knew they were in the mix, but like.
Hindsight's kind of clear. They had the whole like Olympics get together.
I buy into conspiracy theories. I talk about it all the time. I 100% buy into that. In fact, it's probably more proven out. I could call it more than a conspiracy theory. It happened. Yeah. Like, look, they made that decision long ago. The whole charade of that summer was just that, a charade. Yeah. So,
so More Than a Game.
Cool. That's great. So, and then you had the 30 for 30s, right?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to go in reverse order.
Okay.
Of how I enjoy these. Guru of Go.
Oh, yeah.
About, I forget his name, but the head coach of Loyola Marymount.
Westhead. Is it Paul Westhead?
Paul Westhead. Yeah. Basically started, like, he basically turned the game into overdrive and brought basketball to where it is now.
That's good.
Benji? Oh, go ahead.
So Benji, no, that's good. Let's alternate. We'll go back and forth. But Benji, I'm glad you brought that up because it's the one basketball 30 for 30 that I actually don't care for.
It's made a lot differently.
Way differently. Yeah. It's a very important story, but it left me underwhelmed.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have a top five and it's not in it.
So. Oh, okay. So it's not among the top five.
I have 8 listed here.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you right. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
So I start with the unreleased Sacramento Kings 30 for 30 called Down in the Valley. Mm. Quickly on this, because it seriously bums me out. Sacramento, a city that that I grew up in and I love, has an underdog syndrome like anyone who lives in the shadow of San Francisco and is a one professional sports team city, and the only reason people know it's a city is because the state capital's there. You know, we're used to people talking about how bad the Kings suck. We're used to getting screwed in 2002 by the NBA, by the refs against the Lakers. I mean, like, we're so close. The best team in basketball, they were the best record.
The funnest team in basketball.
Yeah. I mean, they were not an unlikable team. People loved watching it. It was so fun. They played basketball right. It's heartbreaking, right? So this whole thing. Everyone thinks it's all over. The team's going to move to Seattle. But the fact that we have the mayor of our city is a former NBA All-Star, and he fights like crazy to keep, you know, like a lot of people did, to keep the city, or to keep the team in the city. I've never been a part of a community that banded together that way. I mean, everybody was talking about it. It was the most important thing on everyone's mind. It was like, it overtook that place, right? It was amazing. And so then ESPN announces they're going to make a documentary, a 30 for 30, right? So my favorite documentary series ever, yeah, about my favorite team ever from the city. I'm like, this is perfect, right? I cannot wait. They released this little clip with Charles Barkley interviewed in it. And then they got the guy who directed Fab Five, which is on my list. I love the Fab Five documentary. They bring that guy in to do it. And I'm like, this is going to be so good.
Yes.
3 days before it's about to air on ESPN, I've got my DVR already saved. I'm like, ready? Allegations resurface from 20 years ago of sexual misconduct by Kevin Johnson, the mayor.
Look heartbroken right now.
I can't even tell you the pain. We were 3 days away from seeing a 30 for 30 about the team I care more about than any other sports team. And the combination of my two favorite things, movies and sports. And this woman that previously had this non-disclosure, but she had essentially signed a legal document and paid money, hush money essentially, to not talk about it for 20 years. She was 15 years old at the time. So to be clear, the sexual conduct and misconduct allegations are very serious. And, you know, and assuming what she says is true, which it sounds like it probably is, it's a really, really terrible thing. And so ESPN shelves the documentary, they say temporarily, to wait to see how this plays out. Because the documentary portrays KJ as something of a savior. It's like the son of Sacramento comes back after his NBA career to save the city. And he's a big part of the documentary. And they were about to release it 3 days after these allegations resurface.
Ugh.
It would have been bad. And I completely understand why ESPN had to do that. I really do. But it's the most Sacramento Kings thing ever for that to happen right before you get out. It's like, oh, well, of course this happened. Of course, right? Just like Game 6 in 2002. Not to make light of what happened to the victim there, because, again, it's a serious thing. But, like, so it's sounding like they'll wait to see how this plays out, and they might reshoot and recut parts of the KJ part to include this. And I can't tell you how bad I don't want that to, you know, be in this documentary.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want any of that. I want it to be about how the community saved the Kings, and it's just terrible. So anyway, down in the valley, maybe someday it'll come out. Yeah, so you had 8 on your list, you said?
Yes. Well, ones including Hoop Dream.
Hoop Dream's
so.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I talked already about No Crossover, the trial man. Iverson. Is that on your list?
No, because I didn't.
It's not really basketball.
Right, that's why.
It's not.
I love it, but yeah, it's mostly just focused on the trial.
Cool. So what do you got?
Keep going.
Yeah, it's all you. All right. You and me.
So Winning Time with Reggie Miller.
Oh, Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's right.
So
it's got a long title.
Basically, one of the more.
What are you doing? Oh, okay. What was that gesture necessary?
One of the more interesting 10 minutes of any of these 30 for 30s is the conversation back and forth between the Reggie Miller Spike Lee confrontation, like, you're choking, whatever.
That's the best.
It's amazing. And just to what people say, it's historically one of the best trash talkers in NBA history to be given a whole documentary. It's just awesome. So
what's great about totally on my list. Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks is such a good documentary. I mean, you could just take the Spike Lee stuff, just that subplot alone. Because what was amazing about that was, what are you doing, Spike Lee?
And he's convinced it had nothing to do with it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. He doubled
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Even watching him, he's so arrogant in the interviews because you're like, oh man. And all the people in Indiana use it as the fuel, right? Oh man, it was like the poster boy hating the Knicks. And Knicks fans turn against Spike Lee, thinking he's the reason they're losing the games, which he kind of might be, right?
Right.
It's just he's such a good villain. for this, and he embraces the villain role. It's awesome. Also, yeah, that whole series was really exciting. And Reggie Miller, I mean, he was a fun player to watch, and good for him because this makes him this almost like cements his legacy, probably even more so than he might deserve. Because he was an all star. He was really good at 3-point shooter.
Yeah, until
I wouldn't call him one of the greatest.
I think he was probably the best until like other guys have surpassed him
in 3-point shooting. You're talking about
3-point shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he had some records at some point. Yeah, and Ray Allen passed him.
And then he also had like most in the season. Steph's obviously passed that. So let's see what else. You mentioned Fab Five. I got that in here for sure.
Oh yeah, Fab Five. I mean, I told you, Jalen Rose.
We both talk, yeah.
Huge fan.
And then you obviously must be a Chris Webber fan.
Huge Chris Webber fan, which is, of course, also a bummer that he refused to participate in the documentary.
So that was I think around the time that happened is when Michigan was in the national championship game, like in like real life. And all like this talk of like, is Chris Webber going to be at the game?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
then he was, but like in a box suite alone.
It
and,
didn't like, they sit with the other one four time. Guys. Yeah. But, look, I love Chris Webber because... Obviously, he came to Sacramento, and he fell in love with the city, re-signed with us, has said a lot of good things about Sacramento. But when he does stuff like that, it's hard to defend him.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
But Fab Five, the documentary is awesome. Definitely one of my favorites. More recently, I don't think this is as strong as Fab Five or Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks, but the Bad Boys documentary.
Yep, that's on mine as well.
So the Detroit Pistons. Mm-hmm. The Isaiah Thomas and Bill Laimbeer, which is Bill Laimbeer is a great YouTube search.
Yeah.
Just search clips of Bill Laimbeer playing, and you're gonna just watch cheap shot after fight after fight.
It's
after
basically
fight.
A guy that would not even get drafted in today's NBA. Maybe.
Nope. No, totally not. No way. No way. And he just was like, I don't know. If he was on my team, I'd probably love him.
Yeah, he's like that. He's kind of like Kevin Garnett or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
Right.
He's not as good as Kevin Garnett by any means.
But. No. But that is just like the most frustratingly annoying player that's going to just get under the skin of the star
like,
of the other
really
team.
Really under the skin.
I'm not literally, like actually physically, he will hit their skin and then, you know, figuratively get under it. Yeah. But yeah. Bad Boys was good.
My favorite part of that one is when they talked about like the Jordan rules. Stop Michael Jordan. And the fascinating part about how I guess it came to be is after a game, Isaiah Thomas says he went down Michigan Avenue, went and sat on like the beach there for like 3 hours and just like thought about it. And I just love that idea of they just play a game.
Yeah.
And like you could have been like just some person walking down the street. And is that Isaiah Thomas? Like, is he sitting right there? Hey, what are you doing? He's like, just thinking. Like, what? It's just like the most bizarre idea.
I know. Yeah. I can't imagine that happening.
But that was a really interesting, because that whole team was before I was born and like got into basketball and stuff and didn't really, because they only won one championship and I never really knew how good they were and things like that.
They're not often talked about.
Yeah.
As
but
like,
they're
you know,
really good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they had that run and yeah, I'm glad these documentaries are funny because they do this thing where they, I don't want to say rewrite history, but they put like a point of emphasis on stories. And of course, 30 for 30 is the whole reason. But like, you know, people's legacies are more cemented because of these movies and it totally helps, you know, and this was great for the Detroit Pistons.
Absolutely.
So, this one is, it's actually funny. Unclear if it's 30 for 30 or the ESPN Films moniker. It drives me crazy that they don't just like, you know, unite under one, but for all intents and purposes, I'm going to call it a 30 for 30, but it's Unguarded, the Chris Herren film. This one deals a lot more. It deals with a lot more than just basketball. It's about a guy who had a really intense addiction to drugs, and he got into the NBA. He got drafted in the NBA. You got the world in front of him. All the reasons not to do these things.
Yeah.
And hearing have you seen it?
I haven't seen this one actually.
Okay. Watch Unguarded's really, really good because he's just 100% transparent and honest about like the types of stuff he was doing, like deals with drug dealers to get the stuff he wanted right before like minutes before tip off.
Wow.
And would ingest an insane amount of, you know, from narcotics to whatever it might be, and would play like, and he could play on it.
Wow.
Like, I mean, this guy was really messed up.
Yeah.
But you know, he has since gotten sober and he does all these motivational, you know, speaking engagements. And it's a really this is actually a document that got me like teary-eyed. It's very powerful. Wow. Because, you know, he eventually had kids and stuff like that, and you know, and even he had relapsed a few times. That's it's a theme in the movie, because it's like we all want to have the drug addict get better, and that's the story. But they actually go into how many times that happened, and then the relapse, which is reality that happens to actually a lot of people. And so, very powerful. Go see it.
That just made me think of this bizarre thing that's on Netflix. I can't remember what it's called, but it's about the Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher that threw a no-hitter while on LSD.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard the
way
story.
Way a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, a long
time. Yeah, this guy like regularly pitched like while on LSD.
He was on LSD.
And he pitched on a no-hitter. Pitching.
Yeah. Could you imagine? No, literally, I mean, they'd say like a no-hitter.
No, we're not making this up.
I mean, like, it's one thing for Michael to be able to podcast on LSD. that's funny. I've heard the story, but I haven't actually watched that video. Did you have any other?
I have one more. Okay, I have one favorite.
I have one more as well, and it's my favorite as well. It's my favorite.
I wanted to say one. Once Brothers.
Oh. Perfect. Vlade Divac. Yes.
Oh, I didn't even make that connection. Yeah. Okay.
That was mine too.
Perfect, Michael.
Yeah,
want to introduce us to Michael Hyland's joining us for the podcast.
It's just.
Well,
just went to the bathroom.
Did you have any some documentaries though on that you had written down or considered, ones you've seen that you wanted to worth mentioning that we haven't already?
No.
Okay. Well, Once Brothers. I obviously I love Vlade Divac. PSC was one of the great kings, and then now general manager, which I will defend. I think he's actually done some really good things so far, but won't give him a grade yet. He just started, but I'm going in with a love for Vlade Divac.
Okay,
why do you like it so much?
I went in with totally what I was going to judge it just based on what it was.
Yeah,
it was just so like moving.
Yeah,
and it touches on a lot more than basketball.
Yep.
But I feel like it always like has that like foundation of being a basketball documentary. Like it definitely touches on it enough. I guess I just had no context for like how it was initially when players started coming over internationally, and then just the story between Vlade and Drazen Petrovic is just like heartbreaking and also like just kind of confusing.
Yeah. It's one of the few, like, there's a lot of stories that transcend sports, and that's what's great about the 30 for 30 series. They try to get these, you know, it's about sports, but it's also about something else. Well, this is one of the few ones that, like, this is a very significant story. Yes, it centers around basketball, but you're talking about global crisis. You're talking about...
Nation splitting,
yeah. I mean, you're talking about civil war, basically. I mean, and then you have... And then death.
Yeah.
And you're talking about... It's incredibly moving and affecting film, tragic, heartbreaking, but also hopeful. The way they did it, I thought they had a really good balance of being able to approach that topic with delicacy, in a way that, like, another one that's very emotional, I think, like, you know, it's, I think it could be a kind of a tear-jerking, very sentimental.
Because even on the basketball courts they didn't even talk to each other.
It's so sad. That whole thing was so sad, especially once they were so close, and they were like, you know, that you would allow something like that to
especially
affect
the potential. Especially if it was over, like, I mean, obviously we only hear Vlade Divac's point of what happened.
And that's an important note to make, though.
Right.
Like, we only get his
side. If that's exactly what happened, like, it's, you could tell, like, he seemed very upset that, like, it was taken the way it was. He, like, so what was it? He held it, he pushed down a flag, right?
Yeah.
Drazen Petrovic's country.
Of his country, yeah.
He, like, said... And Petrovic took that as, like, you're disrespecting me and my country. And he sounded like he didn't mean for that to be the case at all.
Yeah. Gosh, but, that's... Yeah, it would have been...
But they were, like, best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They know each other since they were little and...
Yeah, so Once Brothers was the first... I don't think it was the first 30 for 30 I saw, but it was among the first... I know it was, like, maybe the... If it wasn't the first, it was the second or third.
Yeah.
But it was the first one when I had the whoa moment, like, whoa. There are all these stories that are... I had no idea about this stuff. Like, I didn't, it wasn't like, oh, I kind of know the story and here's a documentary. But, like, I had no idea about that friendship and that, how they got broken apart. It was the first time I had that whoa moment, like, oh, this 30 for 30s could be special if they keep telling stories that we don't know about.
Yeah.
You know? And, oh man, it's still to this day, I watch it and it's so good. So
I love that they spend so much time, in, I can't remember the country the Vladivostok's from.
Like Yugoslavia.
Those opening scenes, just like in this little tiny village, like out in the snow. And he's just this behemoth. This
seven-footer is born. Yeah, I know.
It really just, it set a different scene than like how they done the whole thing like in LA or something like that.
Well, so. And it's worth also shouting out to Vladivostok, only human being on the entire planet that could smoke 20 packs a day and still be like an all-star in the NBA. That guy just constantly smoked. I remember seeing him outside of Arco Arena, like coming to the games. Like you'd see him out back just constantly smoking. He didn't care at all. He didn't need to be behind any walls. He'd just stand out there in the parking lot smoking. He was awesome. Yeah. Love Vladivostok.
Yeah. But yeah, this is...
Don't love smoking.
Fantastic. Fantastic, fantastic documentary.
No, it's really great. People listening to this, I'm sure I've heard of 30 for 30s, but if you're starting somewhere, not a bad one to start with.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Well, I think this is a long podcast, which is great. Any other closing thoughts on basketball before we wrap this up?
So, I'm a Suns fan. Both our teams are not great.
No. Yeah. No. They're not. Yeah. I think when the season started, there was like a 8th seeds open in the West.
Yeah.
Maybe Phoenix. Maybe Sacramento. If this crazy concoction of a starting five, you know, actually works. Maybe Utah Jazz. And there's a handful of teams in the mix. And I would like to think Sacramento had a puncher's chance at that.
Yeah.
But no, I don't, we're only 4 or 5 games into the season, so I won't.
New Orleans is also no good either. So
Well, so who knows? And we weren't planning on that because they have Anthony Davis, which
I don't think they've won yet.
Continually crowned as the next superstar or the next LeBron James or whatever. Yeah. I mean, he's incredible at basketball. I would love to have him on my team, but I'm okay with Boogie Cousins. I'm also a Boogie Cousins defender. To the day I die.
I would be too if he was on my
team. Love DeMarcus Cousins. Love, yeah, people always tell me, like, how can you root for a guy like that? Like, it's very easy.
Yeah.
It's so very easy.
I learned how to take a charge from that guy.
Oh, yeah, he's really good at taking charges. But the way he moves to the basket, he's the only 7-footer that can span the length of the floor, like, at that speed and, like, have ball control. And, like, it's just, I mean, a lot of stuff I wish he wouldn't do. Like, flip off people in the crowd. Like, grab his genitals. 2 Sacramento fans.
That's a sign of respect.
I'm going to look past all of that. Like,
yeah. Well, something that you asked me to do when you first told me this is going to be a basketball pod is defend the Suns trading Isaiah Thomas.
So let me tell you why I love Isaiah Thomas so much. Of course, the Sacramento Kings draft him.
Last pick of the draft.
In the same draft that they draft my BYU classmate, Jimmer Fredette. another name drop for you guys. But like we draft Jimmer, which my phone explodes because everyone else like and one thing like cool, you know, like especially in Utah, and I'm, you know, just graduated, and people are thinking like, oh, who's the biggest Kings fan I know? Like people in Utah, I'm like the first one that comes to everyone that, you know. And so around BYU, as you can imagine, Jimmer was quite a sensation.
Yeah.
And so when the Kings drafted him, like everyone went nuts being like, how excited are you to, you know, Jimmer? You know, my parents have season tickets and stuff like that. And I went home a bunch that first season. And then it became having to answer all of the BYU fans' questions about why we weren't playing him. And it got hard to tell them because he's not very good at the NBA level. And I made enemies. But anyway, we draft Isaiah Thomas at the very end of that same draft, which was like we draft 2 point guards. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas, his game was much, much more prepared for the NBA level. And obviously, it translated. The thing about Isaiah Thomas and why I love him is he's a crowd favorite. Yeah. I mean, he was like legitimately involved in the Sacramento community to the point that this guy's from Seattle, mind you, right? And this whole thing starts happening about maybe we're going to go to Seattle. Isaiah Thomas was going to the city council meetings when we were voting on all this stuff. He does not need to be there. Yeah. But he's sitting in the, we have these like cute, you know, these photos of the, you know, the city council. And there's like this, the whole section is like, everyone has these Kings jerseys on. And it's like, and Isaiah Thomas is there like cheering it on, like wanting to have it go through. Like, meanwhile, like, of course he wants to have a franchise back in his hometown.
All anyone from Seattle wants.
That's all they want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They want their zombie Sonics back. And you know what? What's funny is like I was the biggest defender and proponent for the Seattle people. I think that they were robbed.
Yeah.
And they were lied to. Sorry, OKC, you shouldn't have a franchise.
Yeah.
Like that was Seattle's, right? But then Seattle tried to take my team. And from the Twitter exchanges with hundreds of former Sonic, zombie Sonics fans, I can tell you right now, I'm feeling a little salty towards Seattle, and I'm kind of okay that you don't have a basketball team right now because you guys are real jerks trying to steal our team. Seriously. It's like, oh, yeah, we got our team stolen. We know it sucks, but we don't care, and we're going to take your team. Like, I get it.
Feel our pain.
But they didn't care. They were just going to swipe that right away from us. But Isaiah Thomas, if I were him, I would want the team to go back to my hometown. Like, I would totally be down for that. But no, he stuck with the fan base, like with the community, which he had no other tie with. You know, he's just a stand-up guy. And of course, we get new management that's completely uninterested in re-signing him, and we allow him to go to Phoenix for an incredibly affordable contract. I mean, unbelievable. And I thought, like, Phoenix got a steal. And then they had Goran Dragic.
And then we trade Eric Goran Bledsoe. Dragic.
Yeah, it wasn't the three-point guard.
We'll go with a three-point guard lineup. So Isaiah Thomas, obviously, like an explosive scorer.
Yeah.
There are some plays where you see the guy that he's defending takes a dribble, and you're like, oh, they've already scored the point. Like, sometimes his defense is not so great. But, there's a lot of guys.
We're also the same height.
Yes, so, yes, so this like is
five
true.
Foot nine
so,
or 10.
Like, that's fine. You can deal with that. But, so the whole crazy thing with Dragic happens, and I'm like, you know what, fine. He's going to leave. Let's get something for him.
Yeah.
We make the trade for Dragic. All should be good now.
Yeah.
Then we trade Isaiah Thomas. Like, if the Thomas thing happened like before the Dragic trade to try and like rectify something, maybe that makes sense. But you basically just traded away a guy making like $4 million a year.
Yeah, and by the way, Boston loves him. Yeah. He's like a fan favorite now. He's their best player probably. Yeah.
He's
like,
their crunch time guy.
Yeah, it's crazy. So when Phoenix traded him, I was like, well, that was terrible.
Meanwhile, the Suns are now playing Ronnie Price, the 10-year
Ronnie Price from Utah Valley University, by the way. That was where UVU. Ronnie Price went to play basketball at UVU.
And now he's playing in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
For probably the same amount that Isaiah Thomas is.
but which is crazy. I'll say this about Isaiah. When he was drafted, the lockout happened right afterwards, right? So there was this time where they weren't making any. So Jimmer Fredette actually organized this event called the Jimmer All-Star Game, where he got a bunch of those rookies to come out to Provo, Utah, and they played a game at the BYU, the Marriott Center at BYU. And essentially, it'd give them all some money. Is what it was. Like, we'd buy tickets, and they at least get paid something because they're no longer college athletes, so they can actually make money. And there's a lockout, and they can't. That sucks to be a rookie in that situation. So Kawhi Leonard, he got Kawhi Leonard to come out. Kenneth Fareed was in that game. There were a ton of people. I remember Nolan Smith, Kemba Walker, because I saw him at In-N-Out Burger right after the game. And so Isaiah Thomas comes to the game, and he completely won over the entire crowd. He kept doing all these things in the game. And at this point, I'd seen clips of him playing in Washington, whatever. And I knew that we'd, obviously drafted him. But I didn't have any expectation I'd be any good. But I'm watching him in person now for the first time on BYU's home court. And he's doing this stuff, just feeding into the crowd. Because it's kind of a silly game. Also, no one's playing really that hard. But he's interacting with the crowd, and the people are loving him. And they brought in Steve Fisher from SDSU, the head coach.
Okay. Yeah.
To be one of the coaches of the game, and he puts Isaiah on the bench because he's just kind of rotating him through, and the entire Marriott Center of just a bunch of BYU students who have no tie to UW or him or whatever start chanting Isaiah as the entire arena, and they put him back in the game, and so that's cool. The entire arena loved him. He won over no other player did that, and I thought, oh man, Sacramento's gonna love this guy, and they do. The people still talk about how upset they are that we didn't sign him. So. And you guys let him go, too. So
we did. And
both of our franchises.
We played him the next week, and he dropped 30 points.
Of course he did. Dude, when you're 5'9", and everyone keeps telling you that your game's not going to translate to high school. It's not going to translate to college. Oh, yeah, definitely not NBA. I mean, he's in constant FU mode.
Right.
He's got the results.
Yeah, it works.
Ah, man, love that guy. Kevin Ryan Balzer.
Yep.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me. Thanks so much for trusting me not to come murder you guys.
Yeah. Well, you're not gone yet. Who knows what happens when this thing turns off?
Now the podcast is over. I can.
Sounds weird coming from him saying that. When you said it, oh yeah, you can murder us. That's hilarious. He's like,
whoa. Well, who said anything about murder? What the heck? Why'd you bring that up? I'm really glad. One that you. You listen to us because we had a brave little toaster icon. That's terrific. And then the fact that we were able to actually do an in-person pod's awesome. And so thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
To be clear, when we close our podcast, we say hold on to your butts.
Yeah, I know that one.
Okay, good.
I've been practicing.
It's this movie that Samuel Jackson's in. It's called Jurassic Park. you familiar with it?
Is that the one with when like the aliens come to Earth?
No, no, it's the one. It's the one with Gene Hackman.
It's the one he was going to try to put on his dinosaur list, but he wasn't sure if it was about dinosaurs.
What movie are you playing now?
Okay, well, that's it for the show.
Before we close.
Okay.
This pod is brought to you by The Highlands. The Highlands. Follow Mike and Natalie as they embark on different adventures.
Look, you should have just asked me to make a plug. I would have been happy to make a plug. Do you have anything to plug, by the way?
Yeah, Magnificent Seven podcast. Oh, yeah, let's do that. On iTunes every Tuesday. We do top seven lists, and then every Friday.
Are you on? How many episodes are you? How often?
I'm on,
are you on
like six episodes. Okay. I think I've recorded like seven.
But it's not like a scheduled, like you go, you know, it's
no,
just whenever.
Just kind of like, hey, I got a new list.
But and you're the guy who, your friend, what's his
name?
Yeah,
my buddy Chris. He's the host, okay. And he always has different guests hosts on. And yeah, so every Tuesday there's a top seven list. And then every Friday they do March Madness style brackets of any actor's movies. Yeah, so Magnificent Seven podcasts.
Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah, and then at KevinRyan770 on Twitter.
Yep. Or his alternate Twitter handle at KBalls.
We'll have to create that.
That's BALLZ, not an S. Balls.
Is there one L or two?
There's just one L.
I thought there was one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
One L, Z.
Alright. Well.
What, can I get my plug in now?
Oh, you did the Highlands just now.
Yeah, but you guys cut me off in the
middle.
How
about I get this for the Spectre Pod?
Experience the thrill of having a sneak peek of their personal life. The Highlands on YouTube.
Sneak peek of your personal life? Like,
yeah.
You're eventually going to show them all on YouTube?
Super excited. We're talking loud water filters, skeletons, and a bunch of basketball movies. This is... All right, well...
H-E-Y.
I'm gonna come in for my fifth close attempt right now. Okay. Oh, gosh. Oh. All right, well, that's the show, guys. As we say, hold on to your butts.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.